You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Oh, why can't every day be like Christmas? Why can't that feeling go on endlessly? For if every day could be just
Memphis's favorite son, Elvis Presley. And just like Elvis, James has left the building, leaving me to bring this buggy back into the garage at the end of the evening. This is Keith Alexander, and this is the Political Cesspool, and we have Roger Devlin, one of our favorite guests, on the line, who's going to tell us about a great article. I don't know if he wrote this article for us or whether it was written for some other publication, and we're just publishing it as part of our blog post. But he's written an article called Displacing the Phony Right. Roger, are you there?
Yes, I am here. It was written for the Occidental Observer, posted the 27th of November, I believe. It's actually a review. I don't know. I guess many of your readers must be familiar with VDare.com. And they have a very talented columnist there who calls himself James Kirkpatrick. And he has written a book, it's a collection of his articles, called Conservatism Incorporated, The Battle for the American Right.
And so, and if we can, let me point this out. James Kirkpatrick is a very famous name for people in the dissident right. There was a early guy that wrote back in the late 60s and early 70s named James Kirkpatrick.
Kilpatrick.
That's not the guy.
Kilpatrick. He was a conservative columnist in the 60s and 70s. Yes, he got his start in journalism opposing the Brown decision and taking the South's side in that controversy. And he died a few years ago. He became a general conservative columnist. And so this young writer has taken – he can't reveal his true name because he's a dissident like us, you know, here in the former – land of the free and home of the brave. He has to keep his head down. But in honor of James Kilpatrick, he has assumed this name, James Kirkpatrick.
Well, you've uncovered a backstory that I didn't know. I just thought there was a coincidence in the similarity of the names. But this particular James Kirkpatrick is the peer of anyone.
He's the person I have to read
all the time when I go to VDare. He's the one that I won't pass over.
That's right. Yes, he's a very talented writer.
Well, tell us about your article. I've read it and I agree with it totally, but I want you to tell the audience what you're expounding about here.
Okay. Well, I'm fortunate enough to know Mr. Kirkpatrick. I actually got this book directly from him. He asked me if I could review it, and I was quite happy to do him that favor because I really admire his work. This is his first work, actually. I believe it was selected by the essays were selected by a guy named Chris Roberts, who works for American Renaissance, out of the many, many articles that Kirkpatrick has written since 2013. And it almost gives you like a history of the last 6 years from our point of view, all the way from the failure of Romney through the Trump campaign and the battles that have occurred since then. It's his commentary on most of what's happened in American politics and a little bit about Europe, the EU as well.
Well, I don't know whether you said it or he said it, but one thing that I've read that I agree with wholeheartedly is that Conservatism, Inc., which I think is a term that Mr. Kirkpatrick coined, is really in the business of doing nothing but conserving the victories of modern liberalism, I guess, from the Brown decision on forward. That's exactly the way I see them. That's the best explanation I've heard of people like Ben Shapiro and Glenn Beck and people like that.
These are Kirkpatrick's words. The conservative movement exists to consolidate and legitimize the leftist victories of the past. Kirkpatrick knows his Sam Francis. He sometimes reminds one a bit of Sam. But yeah, that is essentially what conservatism is about now. And I made this, James read the beginning of my review. I was talking about these people. I guess many of your readers will recognize I was alluding to Charlie Kirk and his Turning Point USA. Now, this guy is trying to attract people to conservatism on American college campuses, where they're subjected to this constant barrage of anti-white propaganda. And he does it by hosting young Latino leadership summits, young black leadership summits, and then when somebody gets up in the audience and asks them a question about white Americans, he tells them they're racist and they have no place in the conservative movement and shut up and sit down.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, unfortunately, that he sits there and his function, Charlie Kirk and people like him, Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, you name them, is to tell us that there is no chance whatsoever of rolling back the victories of the left, and that we need to get over that, get on board with the freedom train of modern liberalism. And I can't think of a thing that they would stand up for that we would be opposed to. For example, the silence is deafening about gay marriage and homosexual rights from people like Charlie Kirk. Am I wrong?
Charlie Kirk has homosexual married guys on stage, you know, log cabin Republicans and all that.
French kissing one another for the edification of our audience, I guess. Well,
what Kirkpatrick says is, you know, these purges that are carried out periodically within the Beltway Right or Conservatives Incorporated, they have the fact of limiting competition. You know, that people like Ben Shapiro don't really, like, their audiences don't know that there are alternatives because they're kept out. They're kept from speaking, kept from getting their message out. And so young Americans are fooled into thinking that Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro are authentic conservatism.
Well, you know, you and I, I'm sure, have had the experience of talking with someone whose instincts are basically conservative.
Yes.
That will warn us, you can't mention race, you cannot mention Jewish power and influence, or else you're going to lose your audience and we're going to be cast into the outer darkness. I want your response to that after these words from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour and hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open and she ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed, and I lost it. To other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Diversity in our playlist, that's for sure. That's Chuck Berry, the late, great Chuck Berry, with one of his many hits. Let me tell you this. Before we get into anything further, we would like to thank Logan for his incredible generosity. He's one of our contributors and one of our family, and we salute you, sir. Now, Roger, it appears that, for example, the thing that sets us apart here from the mainstream, I suppose, more than anything else at the Political Cesspool, is that we will talk about race and talk about Jewish power and influence.
Yes.
But people like Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, and others, if you try to point out what a complete and utter disaster public school racial integration has been to the quality of American public education, they will go into a conniption. They would absolutely denounce you as being the worst thing to come down the pike in 50 years. But it's so obvious. You know, I look at the schools here in Memphis that I used to attend that have been decertified as being schools. They were wonderful schools back then. I got a good enough education to go on to college and graduate Phi Beta Kappa and to make a 170 out of a 180 on my LSAT for going into law school, going to regular public schools in Memphis. Now they're graduating people that don't know how to read. And you're supposed to be quiet about this for the sake of, you know, consolidating the left's triumphs, apparently.
That's right. Well, a lot of people don't even know anymore what the rationale for integration was. The whole idea was to help black people. It was asserted that black people were doing worse than whites in school because of segregation, and that if segregation were ended, the performance of black students would improve. That was the whole original basis of the Brown decision, and yet we're obviously, you know, more than 60. It's been about 65 years now, hasn't it? Since the Brown decision.
It's 65 years. That's exactly. And basically, black academic performance in the Memphis public schools has gone down. It hasn't improved because of integration. It has gone down because of integration.
It's roughly what it was in the 1950s. The gap, as they call it, is about what it was in the 1950s. Exactly what you would expect if you understood that, you know, these are just natural differences, natural human differences.
Well, see, I think it's even more than that, Roger. Back in those days, and I lived in those days, black principals were notorious for being strict disciplinarians. And if they had disruptive students, they would get them out of there. And as a result, their students were of a better caliber when they graduated than today's black graduates from Memphis public schools.
Well, people without as much self-control need external discipline, and the black school teachers understood that. They were very disciplined. I've read about it. Actually, at the time of desegregation, this was one of the complaints was made. White liberals thought that the black students were under too severe discipline. And now, as you know, they're even trying to equalize disciplinary actions between the races so that black children don't get the discipline they need.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier in the show, and I'm sure you would agree with this. Equality is the new North Star for the left, where in the 50s and before that, excellence was. I remember Admiral Hyman Rickover, the inventor of the nuclear navy of the United States, whose motto was, "Why not the best?" In other words, why should we accept the idea that Harvard and Yale ought to get better students than the U.S. Naval Academy? We're going after all the best. Now, they've gone exactly in the opposite direction with equality, and it's a false equality that is not substantiated by results.
That's right. We should have a school system that is designed to bring out the best in everyone, whatever your natural abilities are. People's natural abilities obviously differ, but we ought to have a system that encourages each one to do his own personal best. And, that's really incompatible with equality. Under the ideal of equality, it gets to be a problem when white children do well.
Well, I remember when the 64 Civil Rights Act was being debated, and people said, well, if we do away with segregation, what is going to be the new principle that guides us? And they said meritocracy. Lasted about 15 minutes, I think, in 1969.
Right.
By 1969, with Alfred Blumrosen in charge of the EEOC, affirmative action under the Richard Nixon administration became the guiding principle of EEOC enforcement.
Yes.
And that's discrimination against white people.
That's right, yes.
Well, tell us now, what can we do to cope with the phony balonies in Conservatism, Inc. that are trying to keep
you and
information
James
like this from people.
Are doing about the best that can be done. We just have to build our own institutions. I admire people like you at Political Cesspool and like Red Ice that started their own television and radio service. We have to develop our own institutions. It's difficult to do when we're being taxed so badly. But we have to get the message out that Ben Shapiro and Jonah Goldberg are not the alternative to the dominant American liberal paradigm.
No, they will lead you down the primrose path to hell because you can't defeat an enemy that you're afraid to name and afraid to describe accurately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why Roger...
proud to be associated with organizations that do take on these. There are people who know more about race than I do. There are people who know more about Jewish issues than I do. But I prefer to be associated with people who don't recognize such taboos and who will discuss such questions.
Well, I tell you one thing that nobody is more expert than you in, and that is the sexual landscape of the West after the triumph of liberalism.
Well,
your,
thank you.
Your monograph, Sexual Utopia and Power, Sexual Power and Utopia?
Sexual Utopia and Power.
That's right. That's the best I've seen anywhere, and it is telling you just exactly how this new regime of equality is, among other things. You know, everything in the left, I've noticed, has one common effect. Public school integration, Brown versus Board of Education, radical feminism, homosexual rights. They all have one common thread, and that's the reduction of white birth rates.
Yes.
And, of course, the new regime that we have for male-female relations is another one of the big factors that is reducing our birth rates and basically leading to what people have called a white genocide. It's a genocide based on the UN definition of genocide,
right,
which has five different categories. When you discourage people and make it difficult for them to support families and reproduce, that's as much a genocide as marching them into the poison gas showers.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes.
Well, that I would recommend that. In fact, I've written an article under a pseudonym. If you'll hang on after our segment, I will tell you what it is, because I'd like you to check it out and
sure,
give me your thoughts on it. It's in, with Occidental Observer, by the way.
Okay.
It's but not under my name. You know, I have
yes,
to do like James Kirkpatrick.
Okay? Exactly. Yes, yes.
Well, I think
the
land
of the free and the home of the brave. Everybody wants to tell the truth, has to adopt a persona, a fictional persona, and you know.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And
yeah,
you know, they will definitely take us out if they can. Roger, it's always great to talk with you. Keep fighting the good fight, my friend. We look forward to meeting you and breaking bread with you again. And we're proud to know you as a fellow fighter in this most crucial battle of our lives.
Thank you, Keith.
You're quite welcome. And hold on, and I will tell you what that article is.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The full House will vote next week on the two articles of impeachment against President Trump, approved by the Judiciary Committee Friday along party lines. Looking ahead at a Senate trial, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told Fox News,
"Everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. We'll be working through this process, hopefully in a fairly short period of time, in total coordination with the White House counsel's office and the people who are representing the president. I'm going to coordinate with the president's lawyers, so there won't be any difference between us on how to do this. I'm going to take my cues from the president's lawyers."
Tennessee Democrat Congressman Steve Cohen questions how the GOP remains in lockstep with President Trump.
"I've never been in a Republican caucus. They may just take Kool-Aid communion every day."
This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
"Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills."
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Kentucky officials are pressing for an investigation into the decision by former Republican Governor Matt Bevin to pardon hundreds of criminals before he left office. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell represents Kentucky and says Bevin shouldn't have done it.
"Honestly, I don't approve. It seems to me it was completely inappropriate. I expect he had the power to do it, but looking at the examples of people who were incarcerated as a result of heinous crimes, no, I don't approve of it."
One pardon was for a convicted killer whose family had raised money for Bevin's campaign. California Governor Gavin Newsom has rejected PG&E's plan to get out of bankruptcy. KCBS reporter Megan Goldsby.
Newsom wrote in a 5-page letter, "The proposed plan falls, quote, woefully short of the requirements set by the state to compensate the victims and to prevent new fires." Newsom says he wants a better financing plan and an entirely new PG&E board, with a majority of the members being from California.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Christmas will really be Christmas when folks are happy everywhere.
Christmas will really be okay. Christmas.
When there's this is a selection, ladies and gentlemen, by our next guest, a regular on our show, Jack Ryan from Chicago. Jack, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, Jack, tell us what's on your mind tonight. What are your choices on music and movies and or books?
Well, my recommendation on music was the lead into the song, which was Lou Rawls. He had a Christmas song. Lou Rawls he's from Chicago, South Side of Chicago, very near to where I grew up and where I came back to. And I think he's a great singer.
Love is a Hurting Thing. Everybody knows Love is a Hurting Thing, but I mean, he had a lot of great music, didn't he?
He had a lot of very good music, and I don't want to say his genre was R&B, and then, but he never
had a lot of jazz to it.
He
had a lot of jazz influence in it, too. He was a little more sophisticated than, let's say, the typical Memphis blues-based singers of the time.
I think Lou Rawls was just a great singer and Chicago person, and you can't go wrong when you have it there. And he does have some Christmas music. You have to look into it, but I want to promote it. And so that's my recommendation. The Christmas song that he had there, but just Lou Rawls' music in general is quite good. You really can't go wrong. So that's my recommendation is Lou Rawls.
What about books or anything else? Articles? Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, so I'm on my mind. So we're not getting any new Christmas music, Christmas movies that are any good. This media mafia, which is not our people, they're not doing Christmas movies and like. So my movie recommendation is Bells of St. Mary's. I think it was in 1945, starring Bing Crosby and Ingrid Bergman. And it's a story about a rough area. I think it's in New York City. There's a Christmas music, but it was very well received. It's a great movie. In my mind, like if you have your Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life or A Miracle on 34th Street, but our listeners' audience should make this movie, The Bells of St. Mary's, as one of their the movies that they should make as their themes, because it's just a great, it's a inspiring Christmas theme one, and it's a great one starring Bing Crosby and Ingrid Bergman, and it's a great movie. And have you seen this movie? You like it? You think it's good?
I've seen it, and I notice that Bing Crosby, who was not a Roman Catholic, as far as I know, made a lot of very Catholic-friendly movies in which he portrayed Roman Catholics and Roman Catholicism in America in a very positive light. And I think that's he did a great service for a lot of our people by doing that.
Well, yes, he did. And it was a time when the Catholic community in the United States had a certain power, that they had the Legion of Decency and the like, that they would try to say Hollywood movies would be good. And they would say, okay, you have to do one or two decent Christian movies a year. And it was like the Catholic community would do that. And Bing Crosby stepped up. I look at a couple movies, Bells of St. Mary and also On the Waterfront. There were tough Catholic movies in tough areas of New Jersey and New York City, places that we have, Jersey City, they have it. And that's a theme of Bells of St. Mary's. It's a tough community, and there was a tough Catholic school, but everyone's white in the area, and they've got it. But this is a great movie. And all of our listeners should have it. They should appreciate it. And it's not a goody two shoes one, but it's a movie where the good people come in. It's a very pro American movie, and you're gonna cry when you see it. But the good guys win. So that's my recommendation. Bells of St. Mary's. They're not making any new Christmas movies, so forget about it. unless there's some revolution or counter-revolution, we're not going to have any decent Christmas movies in the next year. So we have to promote the movies that we had. And this is from 1946, but it's a great movie. So that's our listeners should watch, The Bells of St. Mary's.
Well, I think it was wonderful that we had, you know, the South was celebrated in the old movies, unlike today. And so was the kind of urban Roman Catholic people in the East Coast and over to Chicago and whatnot.
Right.
They were celebrated, too. I remember the Bowery Boys, for example. I remember loving Slip Mahoney and all those guys. And I had nothing to do with people on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which is where that was set. But it was great. I loved it. And, you know, it caused people to have an appreciation beyond their own little, you know, set of what you felt comfortable with. So, and Bing Crosby in particular was really, you know, he was ideal as a Catholic priest in several movies.
Sure.
I can't recall them all now, but that's what he was in. And he was, you know, he mainstreamed Roman Catholicism to the larger American population through those movies, I think.
Bing Crosby was very good, but Carl Malden also in On the Waterfront. So they had this theory like that somehow managed to make it through into Hollywood, where there were these tough but good Catholic priests in the movies that they made it. You know, that somehow they made it through. It's not happening now. So
remember the Boys Town movie with Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney and everything? That was another one.
Yeah, I remember a little bit before my time. So I'm looking onto it, but
those are good movies. But I agree that those are great movies. And
great.
I wonder what has happened. I think the last really good Christmas pro-Catholic movie were Home Alone 1 and 2, and John Hughes. I don't see how that Gentile got through and was able to make those great movies back in the early 90s. But they were, at least in my opinion. What do you think?
John Hughes was a very good director, and he was, it somehow slipped.
Another Chicago guy.
He was a Chicago guy, and he was there, but he was worried he didn't want his children to grow up in Hollywood. So there's some things that the system is against us. It's nothing really new, but they're somehow, it was better off back in the 40s than it is now, but sometimes there are some Midwestern people, Southern people that somehow get through. If the movie is good and it's commercially successful, it can come in. But now it's a terrible season. I think we've got a Star Wars movie where there's a feminist kick-ass type one. I look at the movies that are coming out there. It's just you just want to just go Amish. You want to go Amish. You just don't want to look at movies or TVs and think that they're all against us because the movies.
Well, that's why I'm into retro culture.
Yeah.
I have three sons. They're all in their 30s. But what we do every holiday, every Christmas season, is watch Home Alone 1 and 2 together with their wives and their families and whatnot.
Right.
Because it's such a great memory for them.
Well, it's very good. But I think that now, next year when I come in, I'm a little bit in that because I keep recommending the classics of the 40s or something like that, but we're not producing anything. But there are great Christian people in Central Europe and Eastern Europe that are doing very good. They've thrown off communism. They're not going into this neoconservative stuff. So I know that there's great new plays and new movies and things like that. So I think we should promote new music and new videos and new we might have to do subtitles because Hollywood is not going to give us any more positive pro-American Christian music, which is not happening. John Wayne died a long time ago. Bing Crosby has died. So we can't pretend that it's 1940s or 1950s. We're not going to get any stuff. So we should try to look out there to try to find some good movies and good videos and good music that is produced by our own people that are confident, that are in control in Hungary, in Poland, Slovakia, in Ukraine, in Russia.
And Russia.
I think that's where we're good. Yeah, they're doing good.
Well, you know, that brings to mind the fact that, you know, apparently the prevailing liberal commissars of our culture have decided that Russia is now populated by the ultimate bad guys of the world, even though Russia is run by Christian nationalists.
Right.
Back when Obama was a globalist Marxist running America. But I remember in the 60s, there's a movie called The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming,
sure.
in which Hollywood made fun of people in flyover country who were afraid of the Russians. Now that thing has totally changed. Think about that over this break. We're going to talk with our, hear from our sponsors now, and Jack's going to give us his read on that and other things.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
That's him, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Memphis' own Elvis Presley, America's own Elvis Presley, the world's own Elvis Presley, with his probably best-known Christmas song, Blue Christmas. Jack, that was your choice. Thank you. I agree totally. I love Elvis Christmas songs.
No, you know, that was my choice, and Elvis, he was certainly very good, great American, great Southern guy. I feel like I'm so soulful. I could sing, but Elvis is better than me. So I want to.
Let me tell you, I maintain that the smartest thing Elvis ever did in his life was dye his hair black. His natural hair color was dishwater blonde, But by dyeing his hair black, he became accessible to Asians, to people in Indochina, people in the Middle East, people in South America and Central America. They all thought Elvis was one of them. And particularly guys, Paisano guys on the East Coast identified with him because of that, right?
Well, it wasn't his hair color, but Elvis had a certain je ne sais quoi, and he had a style, and he
the girls certainly noticed it.
and that's the kind of the message I want to give to our listening audience is you want to be a good person, a good American, and you want there, but you don't want to be boring, you don't want to be some dull one, you want to have a little bit more. I don't know, fun or a little bit, you know, you should be sexy. And Elvis had a lot of soul, and it's good. And that's, we need people more like Elvis. We need to have people, young people that are exciting, they're not immoral or something like that. But our biggest problem that we've got is that these terrible Antifa communist people, and they're attacking us, and our people are old and boring. And we can't have our people old and bored. We need to get young people that are exciting, that are sexy. They're like Elvis. That they are, and I'm looking for them, and I want to promote Elvis. But somewhere out there in Tennessee or Mississippi, there's some young person that's got some talent that can shake his hips and something like that. And we got to find these people. We got to promote them in their music and things like that, because our side is. We're not going to win if we're just a bunch of old, boring people that are, you know, there are no fun and that don't like music or things like that. So we need to get Elvis on our side. So that's kind of my position.
Well, you know, Tom Jones, the famous English singer, It's Not Unusual and What's New Pussycat, he said that he thought he was a ladies' man until he encountered Elvis. And then he has to, you know, basically... step aside for a better man, because Elvis really was a ladies' man, but he was also a gentleman. And I'll tell you a personal story that I know about this.
Yeah.
I used to practice law with a guy whose mother was the head of the cafeteria at Humes High School, where Elvis attended high school. He was a poor boy, lived in the housing projects, and didn't always have money for lunch. And when that happened, she would secretly feed him out the back door. Also, she went to some of his early concerts. Well, Elvis sent her a dozen roses every year on her birthday with a handwritten note, and she had carte blanche to come visit him at Graceland anytime he wanted. So,
wow.
That shows you the type of guy he was.
Well, that's good. Well, Tom Jones is Elvis is number one. Tom Jones is maybe number two. I'd like to be maybe number 27. You know, I'm trying to be.
Or even on that side of the ledger. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Karaoke, like to get them. But I'm more exciting than these boring rhinos, these country club conservatives or these boring.
Well, look, we were just talking about that. These conservatism ain't people like Charlie Kirk. They are the antithesis of Elvis. They have no je ne sais quoi.
No, they are. Je ne sais quoi. They're boring. And they have no courage. You know, I think they should try to get them a sex change operation that they should try to.
Yeah, they're the people that need the sex change operation because they are girly men if there ever were girly men.
Yeah.
Right?
That they've had. But we're not negative. Obviously, it's bad. Things are rough or are there. So that's my message to our audience tonight is to say, okay, it's bad. It's never been worse for Hollywood movies and things like that. But you, because of Netflix and things, you can find the good movies. You could promote them. You could try to listen to Elvis, and you could try to go through. So we have to try to get through this period that we're in now, which is not a good period. It's not a golden age for our people. We have to try to survive it. But we have to try to promote the great musical artists or good movies of the past and try to keep a hold of it and try to recoup and try to get our folks together, because it's a bad time, and I don't know. I'm getting persecuted, and it's rough. I'm getting terribly persecuted, and it's terrible there. It's the presidential election coming up, and they're trying to persecute, find anyone that has a book that's read a bad book by Jean Rapal, Jean Raspal, Camp of the Saints.
Camp of the Saints.
They're trying to find someone that you wrote a book, that you read a book by William Shakespeare or Charles Dickens, and it's going to be a rough, brutal year.
Well, look, the truth is ageless. The truth is evergreen. What I would do, I'd suggest you do what I did last night, which was attend a performance of the ballet The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky, a great Russian artist, a great composer. And just think about this. Russia, we were talking about Russia earlier. What Western nation has a better cultural heritage in literature and in music and in the fine arts than Russia? Russia should be our greatest ally, not our biggest enemy. People that are trying to push us away from Russia are trying to push us away from Christianity and goodness and high culture. And that you know that when the left is trying to dissuade you from doing something, that's something that you ought to embrace. So I would suggest people embrace Western culture, embrace historical culture, and in particular, give consideration to Russia and Russian culture.
Well, this is most definitely true. I'm a Midwestern guy, mostly British and stuff, but I'm 25% Russian, and my grandfather was Russian. I'm a direct descendant of Catherine the Great. And I think that the greatest Russian leaders were Peter the Great, Catherine the Great, and Vladimir Putin the Great. And these guys are they're very good. They've always been tough. They've never been cowardly or people. But now we have a Christian nationalist leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin. And this guy is so great. If you're depressed and discouraged about all the crap you see in the country, just go on there and just Google or DuckDuckGo and look at Vladimir Putin, what he says about Islamic terrorists or Pussy Riot, homosexual extremists or something. You just see
look,
what
he's a great guy. Yeah, and the way I look at it is this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jack, here's what I see. Okay. You said you're 10% or something Russian.
25.
I am 0%, 25%. I am 0% Russian, but I still love Russian culture, Russian people. Yeah. All of us have a link to the age of the Vikings. You know, the age of the Vikings is very short, from 800 to 1000 AD. What did they contribute? Yeah. Well, they spread their seed far and wide throughout Europe, including up the rivers into Russia. And that's why all of Europe is blessed with beautiful blonde women. Okay?
Yeah.
So we all have the Vikings to thank for all of that. We are all brothers and sisters, and we need to embrace a high European culture like that of the Russians. People that would try to dissuade you from doing that are your enemies.
Yeah, no, Russia is named after this Viking tribe, the Rus. They came there
right.
They come up the rivers. They're there, if you're feeling depressed, like so many of our listeners are, Google what happens to these cultural Marxist lesbian troublemakers, Pussy Riot, and they go into Christian churches in Western Europe. They take off their clothes and they insult the people and stuff, and they try that stuff in Russia. Just Google or DuckDuckGo.
He yanks them up short quickly, and that's what needs to be happening here. We need, quite frankly, to adopt that type of approach to leftist troublemakers here in America.
They have.
In Western Europe.
They've been through this stuff, and I there's so many great things about Russia. I mean, the corruption, but a lot of it is our people got too rich, too decadent, and they're not there. And so, I love it.
The big problem, for example, in the 60s, when Russia, when our cultural commissars are telling us we needed to embrace them, Russia was being run by Jewish Bolshevik Marxists. And they liked
before
it. Now you have Ruthenians, white Russians, running Russia, and suddenly the Russians have reverted back to the Tsarist days. They're the worst enemy of Jewish power and influence, and they're being treated that way. And that's why they're being treated that way, people. Don't fall for that baloney.
That's good, but it's good. We don't have to go all the way to Russia. There's good people in Tennessee, Mississippi. So let's be strong.
That's it, my friend. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. This is a political cesspool, and we'll be back in touch with you at this time next week. Take care, and God bless you.